This week, Brenda Itta-Barrow talks about the past legislative session. I'm Mo Wasley, and welcome to Potlatch. Recently, Representative Brenda Itta of District 21 issued a press release on her decision not to run again for the House. We talked in Juneau and asked her to discuss her second year in state politics.
I believe that this year has been a lot better than the first year in the legislature. For one thing, I feel that I've learned about the legislative process, the budget itself, and I've been able to be more successful in getting things through the legislative process this year. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Some of the questions that we've been faced with are how effective are the present programs that are existing in the various departments. And if we find throughout our investigations in the budgetary process that the programs need to be updated, we do make recommendations for them to be updated in order to meet the needs of the Alaskans. And the other part of it too is that if we find throughout our investigation that the programs are outdated and are no longer needed, we have made recommendations at various times that those agencies be abolished. And this is something I don't think the previous legislatures, the past 10 years, have been able to do. So it's been a real honor to work with the Finance Committee to do a lot of investigating and finding out if the programs need to be updated to really meet the needs, because we see so much that the bureaucracy throughout the years has grown and grown and grown and grown, and it seems like the fat people are getting fatter and the lean people are getting leaner. So what we've been trying to do is get the programs back to the people. Some of the legislation that I've been honored to be working with are the GO bond bill on education for rural areas. This has been my own priority the past 2 years, because all these years we've seen our children separated from their parents to go away to school as mandated by the Alaska law. So a group of us in the Bush Caucus are the native legislators from all over Alaska, have gotten together and worked a package through where we will be able to get some schools constructed in rural areas depending on whether the bond issue passes or not by the voters. That's one thing. And the other part is being able to work with different groups on subsistence issues in rural areas. And I've had the privilege of working with the airport bond issue, the highways, and gotten a little bit into the housing problem itself. And Representative Guy and I from Quitluk have been working together jointly and introduced a resolution asking the Department of Environmental Conservation and Department of Health and Social Services, and on the federal level, Public Health Service, to start coordinating their plans to come up with some long-range solutions on the horrible, horrible water and sewage problems we have both in Bethel and in Barrow. So those are some of the major things that I've been able to work with.
I look out and I see a land, young and lovely, hard and strong. For 15,000 years, we've danced your praises. Yes, this is my soldier blue, soldier blue. Can't you see that there's another way to love?
Some things you have to do in a hurry. Let me give you an example. If you're at least one quarter Alaska Indian, Eskimo, or Aleut, and a U.S. citizen who is living on December 18, 1971, you may be eligible to share the benefits of a congressional settlement of almost $1 billion and over 40 million acres of Alaska land. That's why I said, some things you have to do in a hurry. But you see, you've got to apply before the end of this year, 1976. What'd you say? Oh, you've already applied. Okay, then this doesn't apply to you. For those of you, though, who haven't applied, to apply, just write to Pouch 7-1971. That's Pouch 7-1971, Anchorage, Alaska, 99510. Oh, you didn't have a pencil. You got one now? Pouch 7-1971, Anchorage, Alaska, 99510. Please hurry.
Brenda Itta continues on to talk about some other legislation that she's worked on this past legislative session.
One of them has been a bill updating the Fisherman's Fund boundaries. For example, the people down here in Southeast have been fishermen for a long, long time. And there's a program in the Department of Health and Social Services called Fisherman's Fund. And fishermen who have licenses are eligible if they're injured or if something goes wrong with their health while they're commercial fishing. They're eligible to receive medical care. And the problem in the books, in the law, was that the Kotzebue Arctic and the Yukon-Kuskokwim area were not included in their boundaries in the Fisherman's Fund. So I introduced a bill sponsored by the Resources Committee. They introduced it at my request to include the Kotzebue, Arctic, and Bethel area into the boundaries of the Fisherman's Fund because the people in those areas are eligible. The other one, bill that I introduced through the Select Committee on Education at my request, was a bill whereby different school districts, including the REAAs, if they want to, this is strictly optional, and it was endorsed by Commissioner Lind of Education, that if people wanted to have schools on Saturdays and longer school hours within the day, they can apply those extra hours against the 180-day requirement. See, so that if the school districts want, it's strictly up to the school board members. If they want, they can start school, for example, in October, late fall, so that the families in the villages can be out camping with their children. And in my case, back home, they can participate in the fall caribou hunting. See, they wouldn't have to rush back in August because fall caribou hunting is around that time. And also, the other part is that they can stop school, be through with school by April, so that the school children and a lot of our staff members that are employees within the school district can be off in early spring before whaling season starts. So that way the children can, you know, participate in the whaling hunt, and also the employees can, you know, take the time off, have the time off to go participate in the whaling hunt. One of the bond issues that's facing us right now is on correctional facilities, and I know Barrow is included in there too, for a correctional facility and a court system and possibly a juvenile detention center. We don't have any of those, so that's in the bond issue. Another area that we were able to help is that the governor had cut the budget down on NYC workers. So on my recommendation, the House Finance Committee brought it back to where it should have been funded. So the funds were increased there.
La 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 Never did I feel like this before. Never was I so confused. I don't know if I'm up or down. I guess I've got nothing to lose. Never did I feel so good. I might as well hold on to a feeling, it feels so fine. As long as it's on my mind. What a blue Monday, talk about lonely. Don't look back, don't look down, I don't know how I made it through. I guess it's got something to do. Never was I so in love before. World is like a collage, yes, and the only thing I can see clearly is the slow, steady glow of love in her eyes. Talking about the slow, steady glow of love in her eyes.
James Taylor. Representative Itta continues on to talk about her decision not to run again for the state house.
Yeah, I chose not to run for the state house of representatives again this year. Initially, before I filed, I relayed my intention to various leaders, both in Kotzebue and in the Barrow area, that I never intended for politics to be my career. What I did during that time was I honored, you know, their confidence in me that I could represent them in the district, District 21 in the legislature. And it's been my honor to do that. And the reason why I did it was because there's such a lack of human resources in my district. The demands are great. We've got the regional and village corporations, and in my hometown, we've got the North Slope Borough. So all those things are draining out the best kind of people that we have that are eligible to cope with the Western way of life, and also at the same time retain some of our way of life, the way that we've been taught. So, but now I believe that the doors are a little bit wider than they were 2 years ago. And I know that there will be some people filing from my district that could be very well qualified to fill in this position. So initially, it was never my desire to make politics a career. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, but it's my personal desire not to file again, because throughout the past 12 years of my involvement in the civil rights of our Native people, I think that I've gone as far as I can, as far as the physical and material aspect of it is concerned. Throughout these years, I think the area of the spiritual side of the Native people have been neglected very, very sorely. And I always am of the philosophy that whenever a problem arises within a person, that it's not because of the physical circumstances, it's because of the spiritual circumstances. And in order for us to look into the spiritual arena of each human being, and our people, I think, are very, very spiritual people anyway, it just needs to be explored and researched more. And even when I have shared my so-called testimony to some of the churches back home, I am not really that received, that well received by some of the local preachers and some of the local Christians. So it's, you know, but at the same time, I would never give up the beauty and the love and the joy that God has given to me when I took my stand 2 years ago to really find out the truth.
Laurie Jacobs. Brenda Itta in our final segment gives her views on the future of state government, on leadership and peace.
The future of state government, I think, lies within each of the elected leaders we have in the legislature and in the administration. We can't really generalize it. I think that the effectiveness of government depends on the effectiveness of an individual. And there are many, many people that are qualified, people who possess a lot of knowledge, but if they don't know how to apply that knowledge with wisdom, making the best choice for the benefit of the people, then, you know, we can't afford to have that kind of leaders. We need leaders that possess knowledge of the process itself and at the same time have the ability to make wise decisions that will benefit all the people of the state. And I think it's very critical that we start getting some leaders that have moral standards and principles that are honorable for all people, and people that have the ability to just be simple in loving others, caring for others, not cheat, get away from the trading and compromising that occurs in the back rooms and make stands and vote so that you can be at peace within yourself and before God.
Of Brinsley Schwartz. I'm Mo Wasley, and thank you for listening.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.